authority and not if I be lifted up from the earth will draw all men unto me.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are thankful that God has blessed us to come here to worship him in spirit and in truth. If you are visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence this morning. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope we can say something that may prick your heart or touch your heart or cause you to ask a question. More than that, hopefully it'll cause you to want to become closer to the Lord. If we can answer a question, if we can pray for you, if you call a number on your screen, we'll be more than happy to do so. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. 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 Join this beautiful weather. Beautiful weather, still a little warm. They say we got a cold front coming in. If you're not from Houston, though, that don't mean the 40s or the 50s. That means the 80s. So just thought I'd drop that in. Last week, we were in Matthew chapter 25, studying one of Jesus' last discourses, sermons, if you will, before he went to the cross. And so we know it was important. And he gives two parables, and then he gives what's going to happen at the final judgment. Last week, we talked about one of the parables. Some call it the ten virgins. And today, we want to focus on the second parable. A parable, Jesus taught in parables in his ministry, stories that were humans will be able to relate with, because it talked about things that happened on earth, but it had a divine meaning. Divine means not of this earth, an heavenly meaning. And he taught often in that way, sometimes to conceal from those who were trying to kill him earlier than he needed to be killed. And so he taught in parables, and then sometimes to reveal something to the hearts of those who needed to hear it and wanted to hear it the most. And we begin in Matthew chapter 25. You ready to study this with me this morning? Matthew 25. And we begin reading at verse number 14. The ten virgins placed us in a state of expectancy because they were waiting on the bridegroom. It's like the coming of Christ. And the emphasis was to be watchful and to be alert and to be always preparing. In this parable, the emphasis places us in a state of work, in a state of business. If I was to entitle this lesson, it would be taking care of business. Taking care of business. It puts us in a state of, you know the passage, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently. It's the diligence. And so we waiting on the Lord, but we're not waiting with our hands folded. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we're not waiting just sitting looking up at the sky watching. God wants us to be doing something. Amen. Yeah, and so we begin reading, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in the far country." And also remember, in these parables, if they're going to benefit, you got to identify the particulars, the characters or the metaphors. You need to identify them so you understand your role in the parable, our roles, what it means to us. And here he says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his servants and delivered unto him his goods." I love this. See, the man traveling in a far country is Jesus. He's the master. He's the owner, if you will. He's the one who has the goods, the servants. And some translations use the word slave. Brother Harden read from the New American Standard Translation, and he uses the word slave. And a lot of some folks have a problem with that, have a problem with slave. They have a problem with servants. But if you're not the owner, you the servant. That's just a fact. Amen. You can say what you will of me. You working on that job, you know, if you're not the owner of the company, you're the employee. And that's a nice word for servant. Amen. And it's a nicer word for slave. Now, okay, don't go there. I'm just watch this. Just watch this now. See, you know, if you really understand the meaning, you wouldn't have as much of a problem with that. Because only in the role of servant do we learn how to lead. Can I say that again? See, only in the role of servant, can we learn or can we qualify to lead? See, we need to embrace this word servant. You remember Jesus in John chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. If I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, that's an example. But Jesus is God. Jesus is Father of all. Jesus is Master. And he got down on his knees and washed some nasty feet. Now, stand up in here if you think you are worthy to be Lord and Master. And even if you stood up, then you see the example of Jesus Christ washing folk's feet. Amen? Yeah. We got to embrace the word servant. We got to embrace servant. If we're going to be a true child of God, we got to embrace being a servant. Yeah. We, on our jobs, we need to be diligently doing our jobs at work. Amen. See, look. We have seven elders here at the Field Ward Church of Christ. Seven of them. And they are the shepherds. They are the overseers, but they are also servants. And if you just did a little background check on each one of them, all seven of our elders used to be deacons. And the definition of deacon is special servant. Amen. Yeah, our Brother Otis Phillips, he used to work on the bus ministry. Amen. Some of y'all don't know about the bus ministry, but you got to be humble to work on the bus ministry. Yeah. Brother Leroy Mobley, Brother Leonard Powers, Leonard Patterson, Brother the elder, they used to work around the table. Work on the employment. Brother Andrew Washington used to do what Brother Narva Young is doing right now, and I don't even want to highlight what Brother Narva Young does because we don't need nobody going to see him today. Brother Washington used to do that. Amen. Brother Jasper McElroy worked around the table. Brother Jasper sang songs. Brother Jasper worked with the singers' ministry. But did I leave out one of the elders? Brother who? Brother Curtis what? Brother Curtis Dahl works on our buildings. Brother Curtis Dahl used to open the doors and still does open the doors to the church before anybody else gets here. And these are our elders. These are our shepherds who have learned how to serve. And we all need to embrace being a servant of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Yeah, our deacons, if you can't humble yourself to do the works that the necessary works of the church, don't even think about being an elder. Amen, somebody. Yeah, that ought not be Brother Barry Gibson. Brother Barry Gibson has worked around the building, and Brother Gary, even now you see him walking outside picking up paper off the floor. One of our broke. No, that's not for the elders. Yeah, they can do it. There are other things that they are overseeing right now, but it is not above them to still be servants of the Lord. Yeah, and so. Yeah, when the Bible says they were servants, and see, and after all, in this particular parable, in this particular text, the Bible says he called his own servants. These are servants that were born in his house, and he delivered his goods to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "We have been bought with a price." And it says to glorify God with our bodies. In other words, our bodies belong to the Lord. Amen. 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 That's for the brothers and the sisters, what we can do with our bodies. Yeah. And but now the master is Jesus Christ. Yeah. God has made him both Lord and Christ. And this parable, but we want to make sure we understand this. It says he delivered unto him his goods. Now, we all understand that we really don't own nothing in this world. We understand that? Yeah, we really don't own nothing. Nothing here is ours. No, I'm still paying my mortgage. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, well, you don't own that because the bank own that. But even if it's paid for, what do you mean? Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 19 and following. You know the text. And I will say to my soul, listen to this rich man talking. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, thou... Now, the fool is a strong word, and you don't need to be using it. You know, we don't need to be calling nobody a fool, but God can call people a fool. The Bible says a fool had said in his heart, there is no God. That's a fool. Don't you call them a fool, but God identifies them as a fool. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things? See, that's the identifying mark. If you the owner of things, it's yours forever. But when we die, guess what? That beautiful house, that beautiful car, those clothes, those shoes, that jewelry, all your earrings, your purses, all everything you bought, everything in your closet is not yours. Because you can't take it with you. Amen, somebody. Well, and you know, we cherish these things. We cherish our things. But we really don't own nothing. Lord have mercy. We all need to learn that. Because some of us act just get crazy when some of our stuff get messed up. Then the Bible says in verse 15, Matthew 25, 15. You still follow me? And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. We need to make sure we understand what he's talking about. He says he gave talents. And a talent in Bible days represented money. It represented money. So you actually have 2 things. He gave them talent according to their several or their own ability. So ability and talents in this parable are 2 different things. Talents are money, and really talents during Bible times was the largest measure of money, the largest way you could measure money. It was a measure in pounds. And it differs. It wasn't a constant value. In other words, you could have talents of gold, talents of silver, talents of bronze. Talents of gold would be more worth more than a talent of bronze. And so a talent, he says he gave him talent. It was, but most scholars would agree that it was much money. Many of them would say that it would be 20 times a person's a common labor's 20 years of a common labor salary. That's a lot of money. 20 years? And so talents would represent money or would represent resources in this parable. So what it's saying is that the owner left and he left this money, these resources with these three different men. One he left much, my five talents, and one he left two talents, and one he left one talent. And it says, according to his several ability. Yeah, God is good. Yeah, God is good. He trusts us. He says he left this and then straightway he took a journey. In other words, he left this in our management. And then he, you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, Ephesians 4, 8. Therefore, I want to read more of it, but I'm just going to read one verse. Therefore, Paul, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, at Ephesus, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, speaking of the Master Christ, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men, generically men and women. God has given everybody a gift. You've heard me say this continuously. The Bible says it in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He's given everybody gifts. Hadn't every person without a doubt has gifts. And they're given from God. That's why we don't need to be jealous of each other's gifts. Some are readily identifiable. You know, some are readily identifiable. I saw on Facebook or the internet somewhere where you got a boy, 13, 14 year old going to fit to go to college. I'm like, how did he do that? Yeah, and just got it up here. Of course, he has to be applying himself. You have individuals that have all kinds of gifts. And this lesson, I hope you are taking it to heart, because we've tried in the past to help the church and to identify gifts and make sure we're trying to use our gifts. But me as the minister, the elders, the shepherds, the deacons, we need to do a better job of equipping the saints of identifying gifts and giving opportunities for the gifts to be used. And so this lesson, hopefully it's not falling on empty ears, and I hope it pricks your heart. I hope it touches your heart, because everybody in here has a gift. And according to the scripture that I'm reading, according to this parable, if we don't hurry up and get busy using our and be selfish. I would be selfish in the fact that identifying your gift, using our gifts, if we don't do that, we're going to have some trouble. According to what I'm reading and studying and understanding in the Word of God. And so God, Christ has given us these gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Now there are varieties of gifts. Even in the first century, but the same spirit, it come from God. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. These gifts are not to be used selfishly. They are to be used for the body. Now, we got our own personal. See, you can use your gift to make money for you. That's one thing. That's an ideal, when you can use your gift to make money for your own self. That's really ideal, because you're happy using your gift. But these gifts that God has given us, he didn't give us these gifts to be used selfishly. He says ministry, the very word ministry means not, it is for somebody else's needs. He says this. The same look. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all person. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. to profit all. That's what God has given these gifts. That's why. That's clear in the Bible. That's clear in the Bible. And so we see here, it's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, of the body of Christ. Okay. Now let's go back to our text, Matthew. Let's see what issues we having with this text. Okay, so he gave them these gifts, and he took his journey. He took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded it with the same, and made them five, and made them another five talents. So the person that had five talents, Christ knew he had the ability to handle these five talents. Yeah, he knew it. Because it says he gave them to them according to their ability. God knows our abilities. Amen. God knows what we can handle. That's why he gave us the talent that he gave us. See, some of us couldn't handle the talent of singing. You know, singing is a gift. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, singing is a gift. Some use that gift in the wrong kind of way. Brother Vernon, he sings well, don't he? Amen. Amen. Don't let it go to your head, Brother Vernon. now, in this particular context, he gave this man five talents, and that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. But he gave him the ability to handle these talents. And I was thinking of multi-talented individuals. I mean, you know, some of us, we really are so blessed. So blessed. Did you ever go to school with somebody who had some shown up gifts? You know, when I was in high school, I played sports and I love sports, but I had to work. I'm telling you, I watched my brothers and seemed like you say, well, they just naturally give. Yeah, some of it was natural, and I used to watch them and I used to try to emulate what they did, but I would work hard and still as hard as I worked. I've told you before, my brother Anthony, he was faster than I was. He would run fast and like he wasn't running, but I would try to keep up with it. And I was thinking about the individuals I know that had gifts that wasted those gifts. I played with some great athletes, but I can name you some great, I can name you five guys when I was in high school that they were more gifted than I was. I'll say five. Y'all don't miss nothing, do you? I say it because you know them too. I say it because some of them are us. Let me tell you something that I wasted when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I had the grades for the, I made the honor roll. But I was kind of ashamed of it. Can you believe that? I was an athlete. I was involved in sports, and I don't want to use the word smart, but I made good grades. But I didn't want everybody to know it. I don't know, the lady, I made the honor roll, and the lady, she, I would see her, I would be walking, and she said, Mrs. Smith, and I'm like, how she know me? But she knew me, I guess she knew my, And she said, you come into the Honor Society meeting? And I said, yes, ma'am. But I never went. And I saw her again, and she said, "You, Miss Smith, you're not coming." She said, "We need you." I said, "No." I said, okay. But I never went. And I never joined the, you know what you call the student council. She said, "Miss Smith, I never joined the student council because I just didn't want to do it." But then when I got ready to graduate, you know, when you graduate, they give you these, the robe and the thing and the tassels. So I knew I had the grades, and so they were giving everything. As I got my gown, and I was looking for my, you know, sash, robe, and I was and guess who was giving out the gowns? That same lady. and she said, "Mrs. Smith." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She say, "You know you're not getting none of this." And I said, "Oh, okay. She say, you know what she told me was just really kind of. She said, "You know, Miss Smith," she said, I know who you are. A lot of people know who you are." She said, "But you ought to be ashamed of yourself." So I got my little robe. And I got home. You know I didn't tell my mother or my dad. But I say I could have done better than that. Anybody in here feel like right now you could be doing better? This is not a guilt trip. We could do. See, listen, notice this now. Notice Jesus giving these parables. The bridegroom is coming. Be on alert. Be watchful. Don't be anxious, but be watchful. Be preparing. And then he gives this parable about these talents. Now look now. This is what you need to be doing. You need to be working with what I have entrusted in you. And he gave five. Listen to this now. It says, he gave five. Then he who had received the five, he went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that received the two, he also gained other two. And so one of the things that sometimes it takes us a little while to catch on. You know, and some of you young people, you're trying to find your place and you want to find your purpose in life. It's a wonderful thing when you use your gifts for your purpose. And work no longer is work. When you are using what God has given you, and you because you all know, many of you know, I grew up here at the church, and I was pursuing other goals and other dreams. I was in business and working hard, trying to make money, making a dollar. And I resisted allowing God to use me the way I know God wanted me to be used. I resisted it. And so now, and I'm not saying, see, listen, we're on earth and we're going to have some issues. You know, sin is in this world. You know, people are in this world. But I know today that this is what God has me to do. And it's not work. Yeah, sometimes it's difficult, and so I'm and I see these five men. It's like God gave them this talents, and they just say, "Hey, I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them in every way. I'm going to use them in every way, and I'm in a hurry. I'm going to use." He gave them two talents, and they're using them, and that's a wonderful way to live when you're using your talents. Then it says he gave him, but he had received the one when he dug it in the earth. And he hid his Lord's, notice this, and he hid his Lord's money. I was looking at this. See, personally, as I was studying this, I was studying it as us, the church, as us, the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and are we collectively, are we what God would have, are we using our gifts the way God would have us to use them? And listen, I think it would be fair to say, I think that it would be fair to say that we, when I say we, I mean the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, I believe God has given us 5 talents. I do. Especially when I talk to other churches who don't. And remember, the talents are the resources. Especially when I talk to other churches who don't have the resources that we have. And I hope our shepherds are listening. Because we bring this up at our meetings, and sometimes we're in a meeting and we forget that this is just, we forget what the Bible teaches us. God has given us all of this, all of these resources, and God don't want us to sit on these resources. God wants us to use these resources to His glory. Because after all, they are not, see, sometimes we think they are not our resources. This is not our money. This is God's money, amen, church. Yeah, and I do. I think He's given us five talents. And we need to make sure we're using. We're not trying to hoard up $20 million and say, we safe. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Now, we don't have $20 million, so don't even. Luke 12:48. I'm going to finish on time also. Luke 12:48. But the one who did not know it, I read the rest of it for yourself, and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. This is Jesus talking. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. Yeah. To whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Yeah, see, God has given us much, and He's going to expect much. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we have to be careful. We don't want to be considered as thinking we better than anybody else. You know, sometimes some people are so insecure. And you remember this personally, and we can remember this as a church. Sometimes I go to meetings, and I try to be quiet because I don't want nobody to think I'm trying to run the meeting. I'm not trying to think I have the best ideas. But sometimes I listen, and then they ask me for what we're doing, and I share what we're doing, what's working. And you know, and sure enough, somebody gonna say, well, you know, they got all this and they got all that, and yeah, they can do that. And sometimes it kind of bothers me, you know. But then I leave out of the meeting. I say, you know what? We're gonna keep doing what we're doing. I'm not gonna let negativity. Notice this, and insecure, because you insecure. Well, because you insecure where you are, what you have. I'm sorry, but we're not gonna stop. And don't you allow someone that may not have the talent that you have in an area to talk that negativity because they are envious and jealous of you. Don't you stop working. Amen, somebody. Yeah, yeah. And so we have to be careful, though. That's why we need to stay humble. It's not about us. It's about God and God's work. It's not about us. And we're not trying to shine for ourselves. But when we're doing the Lord's work, we don't have to apologize to anybody. Amen. Yeah, but God expects a lot from those who have much. But let's talk about this one talent person before we close. Because there is going to be accountability. See, that's the thing about it. This is not, Jesus wasn't just telling this. Go to verse 19. Go to verse 19. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants coming and reckoning with them. See, the master went away, but the scripture says he's coming back. Yes, sir. He's coming back. Oh, Lord, I have some horror stories of mama and daddy coming back. If feels good, you know, it feels good when you get some freedom. When you're young, these kids, why I think about it, it feels good when you're young and you get old enough and your parents say, look, we got something to do. We gonna take care of some business and we're gonna leave y'all here and they give you some chores to do and you know, and don't tear up nothing and make sure this house is just we find it just like we left it. And you know, I remember when it happened, you know, when we were young and it was almost like you would see them going out to drive and you peep and see them. And one of my brothers would say, they gone. It's like they can't wait. Woo, mama them gone. It's like you want to get just buck wild. Yeah. But hopefully we old enough now that we recognize we got some responsibilities. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully the young people recognize. See, and see, young people, I can give you a little secret, Your parents know you're going to feel like that. It's nothing but a little test for you, especially the first time they do it. In their mind, they say, should we leave these children at the house? Well, you know what? They got to learn. I tell you what, we're going to find out. And you can mess up if you want to. You're doing them messing yourself up. Yeah, that's all you're doing. But hopefully we're at the age that God can entrust us with things. God can entrust us. And we serve a good God. Some people, God don't micromanage us. How many of you working on the job? You got a boss. Every 2 minutes, he's walking up trying to see what you're doing. You finished that yet? God don't do us like that. Yeah. That's not a good parenting style. To micro. You teach. You love, you show, and you let the person do the work. And so the master went away. And the scripture say a long time, doesn't say how long. And that's the thing, we don't know how long. But he went on a long journey. And sometimes that's what fools us. Some people think he ain't coming back. I'm running this. This is mine. I can do what I want to do. Don't. That's. He's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back. He says this. But the one who had received one, he went into then the counting. And verse 24. Then he which had received one talent. Let's see. Let me read 20. And so he that received five talents came and brought the five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside thee five talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Understand this reality. See, with God, if we use what God has given us, and we use it to his glory. Listen, this church. God is going to give us more. Amen. Amen. See, now this is when people get jealous of you. Is that they already got everything. They're already doing it. He already talented. It just seemed like he. Don't worry about that. Whether it's one talent, two talent, whatever it is, you keep doing what God has told us to do. I don't know about you, but I want the blessings. Personally, in our personal lives, and in the Lord's church. Yeah, we have this building. It's nice. God has blessed us with. We have other facilities across. But if we continue to do the Lord's work and continue to grow and minister to the community, minister, we hope the Lord bless us with more resources. Yeah. Let me jump down for time's sake. I only have a few minutes. Then he which received one, verse 24, said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art the hard man. He didn't know nothing. Who is he talking about? See, who is he talking about? First of all, the Lord gave you the money. That ought to be, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. He says, reaping where you had not sown. Like you got all this, ain't nobody gave it to you. He don't even know who he's talking to. He says this, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, fear. And when it hid thy talent on the earth, lo, you got what I gave you, Lord. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou art wicked. Now, notice the master's response and his attitude toward this one person's action. Now, he called him wicked and slothful, lazy servant. Two things we don't want to be called, evil and lazy. Now, we don't want to be called that. Now, we do know what lazy means, right? Lazy means that when you don't feel like doing something, notice the definition. When you don't feel like doing something, you will find an excuse not to do it. Now, many of us, probably most of us, there are a whole lot of times we don't feel like doing something. And I'm not talking about if you're sick, if you're incapacitated. But see, a lazy person relies on their feelings all the time. I don't have time to go into that further. It says, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at coming I should have received mine with usury. Take thou for that talent from him and give it to him who had 10 talents. Ooh. Could it be that some of us have one gift and we use that as an excuse to bury the one gift? All you gave me was one, and so they got more than I do, and so I'm just going to not use it. I don't have as many opportunities as they got, and they're multi-talented, so I'm going to sit and do nothing. I know this is kind of, because sometimes it's, you know, some say, well, I don't really know my talent. I don't really know my gift. First of all, don't lie on the master. Don't say God not good, because God is good. Jesus says in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy. He says, my burden is light. See, a lot of times, we serve a good God because you can go to heaven being a quiet person. Amen. You can go to heaven being in the back. Because some people, I don't want to be out front. You don't have to be out front. You can go to heaven getting up every day praying to God, reading his word, being kind to your neighbor, ministering to those who you can, writing letters to folks, minding your own business, going to work every day on time, being quiet, speaking to people, being nice to folks. You don't have to join the club. You don't have to join anybody, but you're using what God has given you. And you're shining wherever you go. Oh, Lord Jesus. God don't micromanage us. The scriptures say after a long time, God has given us. One person, I read this quote, one person said, money are resources. Money is like manure. It's good for nothing in a heap, but it must be spread. That's what he talked about, money. You know, many folk have died with money in a heap. You got some folk who got money. I don't know if they're in the church or not. I don't know if they're in this church or not. But you have folk who have a whole lots of money, but they're not doing nothing with it, but spending it on themselves. And I just a reminder, if you die, leave it to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We'll do something with it. You know, the same applies to unused spiritual gifts. I wonder what the servant would have done if it was his own money. I wonder what he would have done. Would he have had the same attitude? Let me read this and I need to close. Matthew 25:29. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him who had not shall be taken away even that which he had. Now you remember the context. You're talking about those who not doing nothing with what God has given them. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, and there will be an accountability one day. And so what I get out of this parable is that faithful service led to increased responsibilities in the kingdom of heaven, according to the Bible. Eternal joy with the master forever, in the presence of God forever. That's what faithful service is rewarded with. Unfaithful service led to condemnation, the removal of our stewardship, and an eternity away from the presence of God where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I just want to encourage us as the Fifth Ward Church of Christ is for us to get even more ready to be used. This is our planning time for our calendar, and that's what we're doing now up until the end of the beginning of November. And we are brainstorming. We are trying to come up ways that everybody can use their gifts as the church as a whole and us as individuals. But some of this, we have to take our own personal responsibility. Something you can't wait on the elders and the preachers to allow. There's something we can do on our own. And some of it is we have to make ourselves available. We have to make it known that I want to be involved. I want to be involved. Because some folk you ask to be involved, they'll tell you, I don't know. If you're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You need to be a baptized believer in the body of Christ. That's how you become a member of the Lord's church in the Bible. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. If you believe it with all of your heart, and you are willing to repent of all of your sins, and to confess the sweetest name you could ever confess, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. God adds you to. God makes you one of his children. He makes you one of his children who are accountable. And we do become a servant to him. We become a servant to him. But you know what? I don't mind being a servant to a good master. Don't say it like that. You sound like we slave. We are slave. It's just about who the master is. See, ultimately, everybody is a slave. Everybody is a servant of God, but we serve a good God. Amen. Amen, somebody. I don't mind being called a slave for Jesus Christ. Because he says, if I diligently seek him, he's going to give us a reward. I believe that with all of my heart. Won't you become a member of the body of Christ? And where you will be called by his name, nobody else's name. A Christian only, not a added Christian, a Christian only. Yes, and so you too can be added to the church of Christ, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. If you have a prayer request, if you need to get something right in your life, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Show me the way. And oh Lord, show me the way. And well, I'm down here, Lord, and I need your power to show me the way. And show me the way, Lord, show me the way. And oh,